And this is Navigating Guilt, Part 2. God spoke to my heart a couple weeks ago, and He brought this to the surface. And your best self is not someone that's full of guilt. And so that's something that we have to rid ourselves of, and as soon as we can get that out of us, the better, the better and wholer our lives are going to be, the more of the anointing that we'll have. But you know what? You can't do much when you feel guilty about everything that's gone on in your life. Amen. The devil will bring you down with those thoughts of who you used to be or what you did. Or maybe, you know what? Sometimes I've learned that people feel guilty about things that they didn't even do. So we're going to talk about guilt again this morning. Navigating Guilt, Part 2, 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to pick off in the very last verse that we read last week. In it, we are here. We're with David. And he's made a mistake. And I want to tell you that a lot of our guilt stems off of mistakes that we've made. And your mistakes, they're in your past. But you know what? Sometimes your past wants to get up in right in your present and make you feel bad about things. And you've got to get a hold of that. I'm going to show you in the Word today how to do that. We're going to stay on this subject till God's done with this subject. And I don't know how long that's going to be. However long He says. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27. And after the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife, and she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'm going to ask you for the rest of your life to make it your goal to please God. I'm going to ask you for the rest of your life to make it your goal to be a God pleaser. Put the people pleasing down, because a lot of times you can't please God and people at the same time. But for the rest of your life, I'm going to ask you to be a God pleaser. And it says here in the Word, but the thing that David had done displeased God. And when we sin, when we make the wrong choices, it does a lot of things. But one of the things that it does is it displeases God. And as His children, we need to try to please Him. Amen. Let's go now to write down here 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to begin to read. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And when he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him, and instead he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. Now here's Nathan. God had sent Nathan to be someone in David's life that would correct David, that would show him, you did wrong. And he was a messenger of God, and he went to David, Nathan did. And I'm going to tell you some things about life. Can we just keep it real in here? Okay, because I can't help people if we can't. I'm not going to be the most politically correct person. It's just not going to happen. I was raised and born in Arkansas, and I'm just not going to say things that are going to sound the prettiest, but I'm going to have to preach where we live. And I don't see anybody that's just, you know, like we're all people here. Okay, so I'm going to preach at that level. We're, you know, I've learned in life nobody's any better than anybody else. I don't care who you are. If you are a born-again believer, God has a certain obligation to you as your heavenly Father that sometimes you may not like. And one of those things that God will do when you step out of line, when you get out of step with God, is He will send a man or woman of God, and they will correct you. There's times where God will come in and He will correct you right there, just Him and you. But many, many times, God will send you that person, and they were sent to speak correction into your life. Now, what happens most of the time in this world that we are living in is people will not receive correction. They just won't receive it. So what happens with the churchgoer? See, going to church is not going to get you saved. It's not going to keep you saved. If all you do is come to church, you could very well be on your way to hell. Church alone doesn't send you to heaven. We all get that, right? It doesn't. The Word says that you got to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So what happens in religious things, that's why I'm asking you, don't be a person of religion, be a saved person. And there's a really big difference, okay? Huge difference. But what happens with the average church goer is the moment that the pastor or someone speaks any type of correction into their life, they think that it's time to go. Let me tell you, God cannot bless church hopping. He wants you to be rooted and grounded. And if you've got a really good pastor, that pastor will correct you if you need it. Nathan was sent to correct David. David already knew that what he did was wrong. But Nathan was sent there to speak some correction and to show him and to help him relate to just how wrong that he was. So Nathan tells David this story. Well, there was a poor guy and there was a rich guy, and the poor guy only had one little lamb. The rich guy had a lot of them. So then when a traveler comes, the rich guy took the one lamb that the poor guy had, and he slaughtered it and killed him and fed it to the traveler. And it said in verse 5 that David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die." Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to see where this starts turning around, and it will end up right in David's lap. And I'm going to tell you something. Your sin will end up right up in your lap. And what I've learned about people, and we've got to get this right, or we will stay in wrong and our lives won't be what they're supposed to be. What we have to get right is the fact that a lot of times we're very hypocritical. Very hypocritical. And I think that Christians are the worst, because we get to that point where we think that we're so good that we can sit back up on a high and mighty throne and judge other people for the same thing that we've done or that we're doing currently. And so David, here he is, and he just burned with anger. Oh, it made him mad. I've looked at people. I've done this myself many times. I've looked at other people and I've looked down on them, and then I'd get alone with God and God would say, "You're doing the exact same thing that they're doing, and how dare you judge them?" I'm going to encourage you for the rest of your life, be as real as you can possibly be, and that is so hard to do, because there's something inside of us that wants to be, that wants to appear a certain way. And you got to get past what you want to look like and face who you really are. Because many times those two things are different. And so David burned with anger and he said, "You know, this person deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Verse 7, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. You are the man. You are the person that did this. You are the rich man that took.'" I want to ask you this morning, are you that man? Are you that woman? Are you that person that you've done something or something's gone on and you feel an immense amount of guilt and you're stuck with that? Are you that person? See, because God doesn't want you to have to live with that the rest of your life, but you need to really know right where you're at. Yes. Where are you today? And Nathan said, "You are the man. You are the man." Can you see yourself in this account? Yes. And then it says, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you." So here's Nathan, the person that God sent to speak this to David. You want to get past guilt? God will send someone to you, and they'll begin to speak to you. Don't allow yourself to get offended. Don't allow yourself to get offended. Because offended people, they cannot change. Because they always think that they're right. When you always think that you're right, you're stuck in that place. If you're dealing with guilt this morning, put your ears back. Tell God, God, you have the right to correct me. God, you have the right to perfect me. God, you have the right to do whatever it is that you need to do to make this right and to bring me to that place that I need and want to be in. And then this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you more. See, what it really boiled down to is God was willing to give David anything. In 1 Samuel, the Lord called David a man after his own heart. What am I telling you this for today? You can love God with everything that you are and still sin. And there's too many Christians that walk around and they have guilt that they've lived with for a long time. And he said, if this wasn't good enough for you, David, all you would have had to do was ask for more. See, the word says that you have not because you ask not. You know how many people are in a lack of some type of something just because they won't ask God? Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? And so Nathan asks, why did you do it? Why did you do it? I told you last week that God weighs the motives of the heart. You want to live your best life? Say, God, weigh my motives for today. God, keep me in line for today, because God, there's a tendency in me that some of my motives for why I do some of what I do aren't right. See, we all have an agenda. And unless it's God's agenda, at some point we'll get out of step. I'm learning to tell God, Lord, I just want what you want. Lord, because every time I don't end up with what you really had, I am stinking miserable. How many of you love to be miserable? It's not great. Retrain your heart and tell God every single day, God, make this heart want what you want. How many of you know that sometimes what you want wasn't right? What David wanted wasn't right, and he took it. And because he took it, that act of taking it, Nathan says, why did you despise God? What does that mean? What does it mean in this verse to despise God? To treat God as small, treating his word as optional, doubting God, breaking our word or covenant with God. A lot of guilt comes from the fact that we broke a covenant with God, that we broke something, there was a breakdown in our relationship with God. And a lot of times, if you're really, really saved and you really love the Lord, there is a certain guilt that comes when you really know that you've done something and you hurt God. There's something inside of you that hurts because you don't want to hurt God. You don't want to disappoint God. Now, the Word, it says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. This is not a perfection message. This is a, what do I do with it now? You know how many guilty people are out there living and they've lived with guilt for a long time, but they don't know what the heck to do with it? They just feel like, well, where do I go now? How do I live now? What do I do? I've got this guilt and it's stuck up inside of me, and what do I do with it? See, God is pulling this out in January for us because, see, God wants people to be free from that. It's holding you back. And so despising God, breaking our word or covenant with God, not giving Him our best, speaking and acting as if God is of little or no importance, and when we do evil. And Nathan asked him, why did you despise the word of the Lord? By doing what is evil in his eyes. You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, so he explained to him what he did. And he says, okay, here's how it's going to be from this moment on. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house. Never. Never. Because you did this, this one moment of you stepping out of line with what God have you, the king that God loves. And let me tell you something. David's life was blessed after this. God loved David. I'm going to tell you this morning, God is not mad at you. And I feel like people need to hear that because we get a misconception of what God is and who He is. God is not mad at you, but God will correct you if you're His own. Those that I love, I correct. And God told him, from this moment on, the sword will never depart from your house. What you did is going to affect your family, David, from here on. There's things that we do in life that affect us from then on. That doesn't make God a bad God. That doesn't make Him a mean God. We need to really sober up and think about what we're doing because we have one life that God gave us. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. And this is what the Lord says, out of your own household. Out of your own household. I am going to bring calamity upon you. See, David, you stepped in another man's household and you took what did not belong to you. So from now on, the sword will never leave your family. And out of your family, I'm going to have calamity right inside of your own household. As believers, we need to walk around with the knowledge that you reap what you sow. There's too many believers freestyling life and acting like there's no consequences. I know people that literally were raised up in church from a baby bump on their whole lives and then want to get offended and turn on God. Look here, it's better to never, never know God than to turn your back on Him. I didn't say that. The Word of God says it. Look it up. God, give me a clean heart. God, weigh my motives. God, weigh them out. Lord, correct me. God, make what I want. Lord, help me to be in line with you so much that what I want, it's because you want that for me. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you. And he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Verses 2 and 3 in the King James Version. Messages like this are very sobering, but it can't all be what I've learned. Every pastor wants to get behind the pulpit and tell you things that will keep you in your seat every single week and make you come back and not challenge you and not be truthful to you. Here's what I've learned in the almost 6 years of ministry. God will sustain me, not because I'm the pastor of Parish Christian Center, but Angel, because I am a child of the Most High God, and because I have left the decision-making up to him. My dad used to say, I'm going to say it. If this hair lips every catfish in the Arkansas River, if everybody leaves. Let me tell you something. If everybody ever leaves, they were never with us to begin with. That's what I've learned. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. We're talking about guilt today. Humanity always amazes me. After working with people my whole life, and the past almost 6 years of being a pastor, Tom, humanity always surprises me. And I always think I can't be surprised anymore. And then someone will do something. And I'm like, oh my gosh. God, what's going on with humanity? We're just getting worse. I mean, something that we want to do when we make mistakes, when we step out of line, one of the most human nature things that we try to do is cover it up. It's exactly what David did. He tried hard to cover that up, and it just wasn't going to be covered. Here's what I've also learned. This is for all the people that have been saved for a really long time. The more you know, and you still want to step out, God will correct your little butt. If you've been saved for a long time, I encourage you to stay saved. See, David knew better. And there was that thing in him that he wanted it, and it didn't matter how wrong that it was. I'm going to tell you something. David loved God. If somebody said, who do you think loved God the most in the Bible? I'd probably say King David. He loved God. Loved him. With everything that he had. And God loved him. God said, I would have given you anything you asked for. Anything. That's how much God loved him. David, on the outward appearance, was nothing special. God saw something amazing in him that he could lead and he could be a king that would please God. But we see where he did a thing that displeased God. When you make mistakes, and you're going to have to fight this urge up in you so bad, don't try to cover them. It won't work anyways. We've got a man cave, I guess you could call it. It's really a she shed and a she cave because I've taken over the whole thing. And in this crazy snow apocalypse that we got, a tree came down and caused damage on the roof of this she shed thing that I've got out there now. And Frank decided that in the middle of this snow blizzard that he needed to get on a ladder and try to redneck fix this thing with duct tape and all sorts of stuff. And I was praying, oh my gosh, Lord, Frank's doing this, so please protect him. I mean, I'm over here with the ladder, but I'm not feeling real great about this decision either. I looked out there today. I'm not the most observant thing. Unless it's this church building, I really don't care about much, Moni. I mean, now if it's this church, let me tell you, there's a part back here. If we get just an extremely, extremely hard rain, there's a part back here that will leak. And every time it does, I go and put this, and we've literally had every washer and screw taken off of the building, replaced, all sorts of things. I will literally take a bucket and go sit it in the place. Today I was looking out there at our man cave, she shed thing. And I saw two squares. The roof is green. And I saw two squares of where we tried to make that right, and it doesn't match. Those squares are cream colored. And he just hired somebody to come do it after that. And that's what happens with our mistakes. We'd be better if we just said, God, I'm not going to cover this up, but I am going to give it to you. God, correct me. God, do whatever you have to do, but only you can make this right. Yes. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. There's nothing that's been covered. I don't care what it is. And that's scary. Isn't that scary? Think about some of the stuff that we've done. How many of you have got some stuff and you're like, oh my God. You don't want nobody knowing that stuff. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. I'm going to tell you something about God. His word is true. Does God forgive? Absolutely. Do not try to cover up your stuff. He who covers his sin, they can't prosper. Take it to God. Reveal it to God. He already knows it, but give it to him. God, here's the mistake. I did it. Here it is. Lord, what do you want me to do about it and what needs to be done? God, whatever type of something that has to go on with me, Lord, you bring me to that place where I will never do this again. Don't cover. Some of you are like, I wish we'd get off of this guilt thing. And others are like, I'm glad she's preaching about that because I've got to get this out of me. I'm telling you. If you got guilt in your life, it is stuck in there and it feels like a thorn that is inside of you that you feel it every single day. Now, what did Adam and Eve do? The moment that they stepped out of line, what did they do? They went and made little clothing for themselves because they realized that they were naked. What does that mean? They hid. They covered it up. And God even asked them, who told you that you were naked? It's just from the beginning of time, humanity wants to cover up. And you say, well, God sees it anyways. Yes, he does, but don't cover it. Bring it to God. Say, God, here it is. What do? Help me work out my salvation with you. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We look at God's word and we think that it's just like a promise book of all the good things, and it is. But there's also promises that will keep you accountable. And it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And that is a promise. We would like that verse to say, we're going to prosper no matter what we do. That would be great. But it doesn't. It says, if you're covering, you're not prospering. And there's a whole lot of ways besides money that you cannot prosper. Money's really just trivial when it really comes to life. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to pick up at verse 13. We're talking about navigating through guilt. Remember, God will send you somebody. God will speak correction to you. Verse 13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against God. I believe that for every heart of the believer that feels guilt, I believe that there's a certain place in that making it right, where we have to come to that place that, you know, David sinned against a lot of people with this one action. He was where he shouldn't have been. He was supposed to be off at war. Think about how you would feel if you were one of them soldiers and your king was supposed to be there and he wasn't. You'd have probably a little problem respecting someone like that. Then he's got this guy. David had lots of wives. And David wants the one that ain't his. And he gets her and impregnates her. Yeah, he sinned against Bathsheba's husband too. There was a lot of sinning against people, and we do that also. But I believe that we have to come to that place where when we get in our heart of hearts, we say, God, at the end of the day, ultimately, I sinned. And when I sinned against you. God, the thing that's gone on in my life, Lord, whoever was related to it or whatever, what I sinned against, and I can see it now, is I really sinned against the one person that loves me, regardless of anything that's gone on with me. God, I sinned against you. And until people can see it that way, there's not a lot that can happen. Own your life. Own it. Own your life. That's what David did here. Angel, David loved God so much that he didn't get offended at Nathan. He didn't get offended at God. He said, God, I sinned against you. He owned it. He didn't have an excuse of why he did it. He just said, God, when I sinned, it was against you. He owned it. Right then and there. For whatever's gone on in your life, I encourage you to own it. Own it. Own it. Why? So you can leave it behind you. If you won't own something, if you won't say, yeah, I did that, and when I did it, it was sin, and it was sin against God. See, Angel, until we do that, we carry it with us. You want to leave it behind you? You give it to God. How do we give it to God? God, when I sinned against you. Own your life. Own it. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Here's what I can tell you with full assurance. There's nobody that loves you like God. Nobody's tolerating you like God does. Nobody's accepting you more than God does. And nobody can cover you more than God can. Love covers over a multitude of sin. See, you can't cover your own sin. God can. How did He do that? He sent His Son. He sent His Son. Go with me back to 2 Samuel. We're going to look at chapter 12, verse 13. Then David said to the Lord, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. So you can't go put your sin in a black trash bag and throw it in the dumpster. But when you make that right with God, when you go to God, God's the only one that can take sin away. I'm going to be very, very real. And I'm going to speak from my own life. I've learned that people can relate better to a pastor if the pastor will just speak the truth, even when it's bad about themselves. I had a divine appointment on Wednesday morning, and here's what it was. In Scranton, we go, we get this food, we split it up into two loads of food. One goes to Paris, one stays in Scranton. And there's a lot of really great people that come and they help us to, because it's not easy splitting that load off of this truck. It comes in pallets, things have to be split, all this stuff. And there's someone that comes and they help, and I love this person dearly. And they don't always have the gas money to come down to Scranton and help, but I need their help. And so I always tell this person, if you're short, I'll put a little bit of gas money in your vehicle. So here we are, going to the four-way of Scranton, and I've got my credit card. I don't carry anything hardly on Wednesdays because I know I'm going to be busy. Things are going to be chaotic and I might lose something. So I don't keep a lunch. I just got my long johns in her mouth fit and that's it. I had my credit card. And this person's getting gas and I'm trying to pay for it. And the lady did something wrong on the cash register. Then she tried to do it another way. That wasn't working because she messed it up. You love technology when it works and you hate it when it doesn't. She's like, well, the line's been messed up for 2 weeks and the only way I can run this is through the line because I closed it out and I shouldn't have. And I'm thinking, okay. And it was taking a while and I'm a very impatient person and I was thinking, I got to go. Like, we got to speed this mistake up. I got things to do. And I said, all I have is a credit card. That's it. That's all that I have. And we're going to have to make this work because that's it. That's all I've got. And right around that time, I told this person, I'm going to put $20 in your gas tank. Right around the time they're explaining to me, Jimmy, there's no way they can run this credit card. The person comes in that I'm getting the gas for, and they go, I ran over 25 cents, so the total is $20.25. And at that point, I'm just kind of annoyed because I'm like, great, here we go. This is all these problems. And I was just literally thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I don't know. A guy behind me goes, I'm getting this. And because I've spent most of my life doing for others, I feel really bad when somebody does something for me. And it makes me uncomfortable. Because I'm not used to that. And I said, no, you don't got to do that. I'll figure this out, whether I've got to come back tonight, whatever I've got to do. And he just insisted. And I was just super uncomfortable with it because I don't like to be a burden to people. And I was like, okay. And I walked out and I said, Lord, bless that man. Just bless him. Fast forward, we get through the day. I'm sitting right here with Frank's arm around me at church Wednesday night. And that was far from my brain. And God began to explain to me why that happened. Now, last week I asked you how many parents in here you feel guilty about your children. I'm going to ask you that again. How many of you parents, when you think about some guilt that you've got, one of them big categories is your kids. There's some things in there that you say, I wish things were different. I always preach about being real, and I'm going to keep this extremely real. I feel guilty every day for my children because I could not make a marriage work. And I look at my kids and I see hurt and pain in their life every day. And so, Melissa, I feel an immense amount of guilt all the time, every day. And as I sat here, God began to speak to me. He said, Kelly, this year what I'm going to teach you in the year 2025 is I paid for that guilt. I want it out of your life. See, it's not by accident that she went over 25 cents. 2025. God began to just say, I paid for that. I paid for that. I got to have that out of your life. It's eating you from the inside out, Kelly. Here we are. I want to tell everybody in this room that respectfully, your guilt has been paid for. And I wish I could tell you that just would take on meaning and make you feel instantly better, but it doesn't. But if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what, I've got guilt about something, and it just eats you up. And God, I want to be able to receive the fact that you paid for the guilt. See, there's times where because of stuff that's gone on, we have trouble receiving what we need from God. Receiving it. And if you're having trouble and you say, I need that guilt out of my life, and I'm having trouble receiving the forgiveness of God, receiving that he paid for the guilt that I feel about, receiving that, I'm going to ask you to stand, because see, receiving it, there's something that wants to stay in there inside of you and say, well, that can work for everybody but me. That's good for everybody but me. God don't want you sitting there feeling guilty about something for the rest of your life that you can't change. Let 2025 be the year that God shows you, that God wraps his arms around you and says, I paid for what you feel guilty over. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to begin a work inside of us. Y'all put your hand over your heart. God, for every person in here, Lord, that's standing, God, I ask that you'd minister to our hearts, God, to that inner person. And Lord, right now, God, I ask that you'd make this heart be able to receive the forgiveness that you've given us. God, for the debt that you already paid. Lord, in our minds, a lot of times we know it, but God, our heart, there's trouble receiving it from you. And so, God, right now I ask you, God, to begin to chip away at the guilt. God, give us that wisdom that you've already paid for it. Lord, put it behind us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all all stand to your feet. Dwayne is going to preach tonight. I encourage you to come at 5:30 and hear him. We have lots of goodies for everyone. We have hams out there also. We love you. God loves you. I encourage you to live out the sermon. Live it out. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these amazing people, God, that are standing. Lord, and I thank you that you're going to cause them to stand all week long. God, when the devil comes in like a flood, Lord, I thank you for the standard that you're raising on their behalf right now. Lord, I ask that you'd bless them. God, I ask that you'd keep them. Lord, I ask that you'd make your face to shine upon them. And God, I ask that you would give them peace right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, the blessings and the miracles and the health that we've been asking you for, God, I thank you that it's manifested in our life right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare over this congregation right now, God, that it's not by might, that it's not by power, that it's by your Spirit. So, God, I ask that you'd give us peace and give us a rest. Lord, don't let us fight against ourselves and don't let us fight against you, God, in Jesus' name, amen.